What is up, everybody, and welcome back to Talking Wellness, presented by South Florida Wellness Network. My name is Christian.
It's your boy, Michael. How we doing?
And welcome back. We have, this is not a My Story Matters per se, because there is a topic, as you saw by the title, but we're going to talk about movies today. It's a part two. I don't know if you guys remember, we already did an episode called Wellness Through Movies. It came out, I believe, last year, if I'm not mistaken. It's still one of my...
That's crazy.
Which is wild, right?
Yeah.
It's still one of my favorite episodes because I'm a movie nerd and I get to talk about movies any chance I get. I'll do it. I love it. However, today I want to bring a different perspective. Even though this is technically a part two of that, today I want us to discuss a little bit about not necessarily watching movies and how that can be a wellness tool, but how creating can be a wellness tool, all the way from making a movie or making videos to writing a subject matter, you know? So for that, I brought a very good friend of mine, and I'm so happy to call him a friend because he's a movie nerd just like me. Would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, my name's Brendan, and I'm a wellness coach here at South Florida Wellness Network. So
He's one of he's another new person. We've been getting a lot of new people here, and you guys met Chloe last week, which for us the episode came out today. So I hope you guys had a chance to watch it. She has a pretty incredible story.
That's the cool thing about this podcast. Obviously we bring forth a lot of cool topics and talk about a lot of important things, but we also get to show our work stuff. You know, there's not a lot of companies and a lot of workplaces that will highlight the people that work for them and their personalities and their stories and how struggled and how they changed their lives. So it's really cool to see that, because it adds that level of relatability for other people to be able to do the same maybe one day, you know. Super cool.
Well put. Exactly. So, Brendan, I'm so happy you're here, and I can't wait to nerd out about movies in this episode.
Me too.
Happy so to we're gonna get into the nitty gritty. I need to ask you the most important question that I think any movie person needs to be asked: What is your favorite movie?
Ooh, yeah. That I know you have a bit of an issue, like just kind of pinpointing. One,
because there's so many movies always coming out, and so many different genres.
Yeah,
that's what it's like. Music.
For sure.
It's like, how do you pick a favorite song when you're a somber place, you're a happy place, you're a hype place? So it's like,
I agree.
How do you pick a favorite song? So you could really just pick what what's resonating with you the most at the moment.
Absolutely.
You know?
I mean, something I've watched over and over and over again is the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Oh, my goodness.
Go to
speak about, like,
that's the greatest trilogy of all time by far.
I'm actually going to see, like, the live orchestra version of it. Like,
That's wonderful.
For the Two Towers. I happen to love, my favorite is Return of the King.
Okay, but, the final.
Yeah, but honestly, any of them.
Just because of the whole climax of the fighting.
It's the longest one. There's
that
so much
battle
going on
is amazing.
For Frodo. I mean, like, come on.
Bro, I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan, so it's funny you. Like, I watch, like, all the Marvel fans, but I'm not, like, I like Marvel, but there's super Marvel fans, like Chris. That's why, I mean, when I say I'm not, like, the biggest Marvel fan. But Lord of the Rings, dude, I love Lord of the Rings.
I'm
a huge Lord of the Rings. I play the Lord of the Rings PC games. Like, bro, you're legit. I love Lord of the Rings, bro. Like,
have
I'm
you
a
seen
legless,
the books?
Huh?
Have you seen the books?
I don't read books. I have not booked me. I've been just terrible with books, but,
I got into those a little bit. They're incredible.
Oh my God. They're incredible.
No,
of course,
I'm sure. Like, I can only imagine. Insane. Books typically are better formats than the movies. I just, you know, ADD brain.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I've never been a humongous fan of books.
Bro, I'll read I'll watch movies. What did I just read?
I have to go back and, like, constantly recheck what I just read.
But it's a great read. I can't say that. Like, when I do that, it's an amazing read, an amazing story, and I feel super drawn to the story and, like, it feels intimate, almost like I am watching it, but it's more work.
I'll tell you this. Back in high school, I was given the task by a teacher to read The Great Gatsby.
Oh, okay, okay. Awesome.
And I remember when I first read it, I had watched the Leo DiCaprio movie, and I was like, oh, let me see how it connects. I love the book, but I love the movie.
There's something
special about visually seeing that. I know a lot of people argue that, well, reading gives you the opportunity for you to come up with the images and the visuals. That's why when people watch the movies, they're like, oh, the book was better. Well, of course, because you created that image in your brain.
And then books, and that point is so perfect, especially with specific genres and books. Like, if you think a psycho thriller or drama and put it in a book, and then you give that your brain that room to think about other possibilities of the story routes, bro, then those books are elite, you know?
Right. But here's what I'll say. The reason why I like watching them in movie form is because I'm a big fan of seeing how
all
other
senses,
people...
man.
Not only that, but how people interpret stories. Oh, yeah. Like, for example, one of my favorite horror movies ever is the Andy Muschietti It movies.
Oh, okay.
And it's literally, and a lot of people don't agree with me, and that's fine, but they're one of my favorite horror movies. But what I enjoyed is how he takes the story from Stephen King and makes it his own. Like, a lot of stuff that happens in that book are not in the movie. And there's a reason. It's because the way that he envisioned the story wasn't exactly the same.
I was just going to say that, you know, I think depending on the book and depending on how convoluted the story can be, it can be, you know, the book's obviously going to be better. You can fit more into it. But then something like Lord of the Rings, they cut some of the fat. Yeah. You know, there are some
that makes me think of like a Death Note. Because I've written comics on Death Note. There's a lot more into it. But if you watch the actual show, it's not so much involved with that. But it adds all the things that you need to know about it that keep it important and keep it like relevant. Definitely. Mm-hmm. That's the hardest part of probably about creating a movie from a book, honestly. Yeah,
and that's something that even, you know, I'm a big Game of Thrones fan too, just naturally, fantasy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's kind of my genre, but
mythology kind of. Yeah, I love that genre too.
The writer George R. R. Martin points out that sometimes people making it their own is like, it kind of takes away from it. Like, you know, naturally, I mean, I've watched some movies recently when I've read the book, and I'm like, oh boy, they left out like all the good stuff. Mm-hmm. They really made it too much of their own. Like, there's a part where like style comes in, I think, and that's important for a director and, you know, their team and stuff. But yeah, sometimes it can be.
Yeah, especially when you're saying it's about that. Yeah, you know, if it's like about this story and you're adding a lot of key details, then it's like that's probably not a no go. You know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, I'm curious because you have an extensive history involved with making movies your own, right? Yeah. And one of the things that I really wanted to pinpoint in this episode is how can we inspire people to utilize making a movie, not necessarily just watching, but making media. How can that be utilized as a tool for wellness? So I myself have experienced, the both of you have experience in this. So I'm curious to hear your guys' perspective on how making media, whether it be videos, movies, taking pictures, how has that helped you in your own personal wellness journeys?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want to go?
I mean, I'll share first because you're the guest. I'll let you share last. Yeah. I mean, whenever I make a comparison or conversation about certain things, I like to play devil's advocate for both sides. So, like, you know, with creating media and creating content and shooting on cameras and stuff like that, it's awesome. It's the reason I got into it. It's the reason I love doing it. It's the reason that it's my passion. But with that comes a lot of headaches, comes a lot of work, comes a lot of editing, comes a lot of mental health awareness stuff, because you are working with people and ideas and different things that you have to also manage and be able to be a team player, you know. And there's a lot of things that come into editing that aren't seen, and and shooting that isn't seen. A lot of people think you just pick up a camera and it films you, or like it films itself, or you just can, like, you don't need a tripod, you don't need a gimbal, you don't need a lens. Like, there's so many other things that go in. Lighting. Yeah. But the biggest thing in video is lighting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
By far. Yeah. And we have how many lights right here in this little tiny setup, you know? So, and we need more, So, there's so many little things that go into that, and that's what's taken me from like my 8-year or 10-year journey, and I'm still learning. I will always say I'm a novice. Like, I'm still a beginner. I'm not a pro at all. So, like, I have a lot more learning to do. But with that being said, it's an amazing thing. You know, I love creating it. I think everybody has an artistic ability within them. They just got to find it, whether it be playing sports, whether it be writing, whether it be, you know, running. There's so many different art forms. It's whether or not you look at it as art, but art is art, you know.
Yeah.
And creating is, my brother made a slogan, it's called Create Daily, and that's something that, like, I always think of when I'm editing or something like that. It's just keeping my mind active, you know. I have a super ADHD, and I have a super, like, hyperactive brain. And if I don't have it going into certain positive habits, like editing or doing things like that, that I'm just going to be doing other things. So it's really,
I like that.
Yeah, it's a positive thing for me to do, as far as like for video gamers. Like, if you're a video gamer, you like gaming. It's like, I feel like certain people that have certain brains and the way they think and like coding, or you just fall in line with certain things and activities. Mm-hmm. And I feel like editing and shooting are definitely one of them. So it's, for me, it's been awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Renee?
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, a lot of times people see the final thing that you put out and they're like, oh, like that must have been, you know, not easy, but, you know, like you're saying, like you don't have to grab a tripod and everything
else. They'll think like, oh, I want to do that, which is great. You want to inspire people. That's what you were doing. We're trying to inspire. But you want to also make them, give them, you want them to appreciate how much work that goes into it.
Of course. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that it can be cathartic, you know, to really sit down.
That's the word.
Yeah. Like write something, you know, come up with this story. And it can be validating too, because I say it all the time, but when it comes to film, it can be, you know, rewriting history or like sort of putting on paper what happened to you. And that's your experience. So it's just getting that out is, I mean, it's everything. It's sharing your story, kind of like how we're doing here. This is another just medium of, you know, making content. You
exactly.
know, it's all of it is, you know, this is, I'm sure, cathartic for you guys in a way, too.
Oh absolutely. Man, absolutely. Yeah.
I wake up Friday mornings like running to the office because I want to record, you know.
Yeah.
It's always been for me specifically a way to feel that I'm doing something that goes beyond me. Right. You know, whenever I make content, whenever I used to make my little TikTok and YouTube videos, whenever I used to film for churches or for other locations and jobs that I've been a part of, the goal was always to, how can I make an impact? How can I do something that just goes beyond me, right? And I love how last week, Chloe, how she shared it. Like, I just want to make people laugh. I just want to make people feel good for a couple of minutes and then they can go for the rest of the day. Same thing for me. Like, that was always my goal. But I am curious to hear what you guys have to say when it comes to the creative process of things. Sometimes we don't do it alone, right? Sometimes other people get involved, especially if we're working, like in your case, you used to work with actual like film sets. And in your case, you're working with clientele day in, day out. So did I. So when it comes to the creative process, how do you deal in a productive and I guess you could say responsible way, how do you deal with those creative disagreements in the creative process?
I'll let you go first.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I come from, I went to Broward College. I did a film degree there. So being in film school, it's all collaborative work. You know, it's smaller scale. And then, of course, you mentioned too, I worked on some of the bigger sets. It can be cathartic more on the smaller sets. On the bigger ones, I've always said it's a little more industrial, being on like a feature length and you know, you're really detached from the creative process of it. Mm-hmm. Although it's still rewarding to, you know, you're working with people that you see every day on TV and, you know, you're talking to them, you're having conversations, they're asking
about you. You're just more of like
you.
A working hand.
Yeah, for sure. And that's still, like I said, it's still
super valuable.
Oh my goodness, yeah. And it was great, you know, while it lasts. Because there are sometimes too on film sets, depending on your role, where it can be, you know, as a production assistant, at least, you know, you kind of start to recognize really and become a little too aware of your role. And like, you know, you're doing 14, 15 hour days, 5 days a week for 4 or 5 months straight. And then it kind of really starts to affect you. So, you know, there's a realistic aspect of it that I want people to realize too, you know, that creating a film can be that, you know, that level of
stress.
I mean, oh my goodness. I've dread going in some days, and then some days I know what we're doing and I'm so excited.
Right. Yeah.
So it can be one of the two.
Yeah.
And you know, I've also worked in some client, you know, aspect. I've done some documentary work. I've done some, you know, other production work, and it's super fulfilling. It really is. It's, you know, I felt it.
You feel more personally drawn to those kind of works.
Yeah, I really do. And, you know, I even mentioned to you before this, I'm doing a short film soon coming up, which I'll plug at the end, hopefully.
Plug it all up for sure.
But yeah, like just being on a small, you know, however small a role can be on a short film is still leagues bigger than how it feels to be on a feature length. Because you just have that much more creative say, like even over small things like, oh, like that light, you know. If I said that to someone on a feature film, they're like, I've been doing this for 30 years, you know, back off or something. So you know, there are some, you know, really
ego
set in their ways, ego, you know, being a production assistant, I've been screamed at, you know, I've been treated pretty poorly. But other times, you know, people, you know, there are some actors I always praise because I'm like, they took the time to talk to us and get to know us and to ask how we were doing because we were in like 100 degree heat, you know, in Georgia and like, you know, so it just depends on, I guess, where you're at.
Yeah.
Each one is run differently. So
And that's such an interesting question because it shows like how filming and creating, it could go in so many different realms.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, he went in the very traditional route of, like, you know, going film school and going into, because you, I'm sure you wanted to, like, get into movies and stuff like that.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, same with me. And I just, I think my passion just came way later. I was kind of already out of college.
Okay.
Or I was, like, I think I was, like, 21. But I went to college for soccer, like, just to play soccer. I didn't really think about anything else but soccer. but I also always had that passion for videos. So when I got into videos, it was more so, like, my first video camera was a GoPro, and mm-hmm. I would record me doing, like, parkour. It was just about trying to, every year or every couple months, it was just like, I like this. Mm-hmm. I want to make it look better. I want to grow. I want to keep, and then it just turned into $3,000-$5,000 cameras, you know? So it just becomes a hobby that became very big passion of mine. And then I learned how to film an S-log, and you learn how to film so many different ways. You learn how to film creatively, and you learn how to film professional cameras, and you learn how to film. Mm-hmm. You learn all the different things and how to film certain settings, 4K, Super 35. You learn all the different things. And me, it was like the YouTube route, you know? So it was kind of like a cool, different, like, self-teaching route. But at the same time, I've always had that interest of, like, film, and I've always had, like, oh, like, I've always wanted to go to film school, so it's cool to hear that perspective too. And it's funny, I met a dude who went to film school as well, and he was there for 2 years, and he had a very similar perspective to you, where he was saying how, like, he liked it and he learned a lot and it was great for networking and da 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 da, a lot of good things. And but he was saying ultimately it wasn't what he felt drawn to doing.
Sure.
And now he's doing car videos, so he does like car production videos. He has like a Mercedes, and he literally has a built-on like pole. That's and cool. He has an FX6 Sony
right
onto it, built onto the pole, and he has like a fully car bro, he's filming McLarens, Porsches, supercars all the time. He's like 21. Nice. And it's just, you know, he went with something and he went super extreme with it because he knew a lot of people would be interested. And and that
all
that's
find
it
our, neat
niche, and there's so many in this world for a creator, there's so many opportunities.
Yeah,
it's just about finding your niche and exploring it and being extremely passionate and consistent and hardworking.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, look at Chloe from, you know, last week's episode. I mean, that she found her niche in that way, doing it through TikTok as an outlet.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's different outlets. You know, you said the YouTube kind of thing. And then
and she was telling us she didn't even really, obviously she's worked hard and she's consistent. And now she's told us how she's trying to be more consistent and work on it and level it up. But she said it was never to like make money. It was never to become famous. It was just because she liked entertaining people, because she liked telling jokes, and because she liked just saying her piece. And that's truly the best types of content, because it's relatable, it's natural, it's just not forced. And you know, it's funny because you come from, like, I'm sure you come from film background, and then I come from like YouTube and filming certain people's productions, and like you see that perfectionism, and sometimes it's not necessarily you don't get the rewards from it on social media. And even with us, even with talking wellness, you know, so it's finding that balance. So it's of topics to talk about, because we want to talk about wellness and helping people and share their stories, but also controversial topics,
of course,
are way more you know, viewable. So it's it's super interesting how
that actually leads to a really great question that I'm curious your perspective. So a lot of the times when, especially when I had to film for places, I wanted to be creative. I wanted to do something interesting. Like, oh, let's try to shoot in this way. Like, I'll never forget when I was shooting a pastor's sermon. Back in COVID days, I was shooting a pastor's sermon. And I told him, hey, I want to try to create some really fun dynamics here, because I just don't want it to be your face only. I want it to be, like, multiple camera shots. And then as I was doing the multiple camera shots, he said, stop, I don't want that. I'm like, what? Yeah, I don't want that. Let's keep it simple. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And I'm just waiting there. So I'm curious to hear your guys' perspective on, like, how do you handle when somebody, let's say you're working with a client or you're...
I kind of want to answer.
Yeah,
That's a great question, because it's good and bad. If you're working with a client and you're doing specific things, you definitely want them to give you an instruction or directional order on certain things. But at the same time, give you a leeway to be creative. At the end of the day, if they're not letting you be creative in any way, why are they hiring you to be a creative videographer?
Like,
you know, at least me, I'm a creative videographer. I'm not a person that just sets up a camera and shoots interviews all the time, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, you have to have that it's super important to have a relationship with your client. Mm-hmm. I don't think people realize that either, yeah, or absolutely. Underestimate it for sure, is the importance of the relationship that you have with your client, especially if you're shooting weddings or something important like that, bro. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. You only have one opportunity to shoot it. You can't redo it.
That's true.
So you really have to have a great relationship with these people to be like, hey, I'm going to be in your face. Hey, I'm going to be da-da-da-da. Hey, I'm going to tap you on your shoulders. So, like, you can't be scared. You really mm-hmm. can't be scared. And I learned that because my first gig was actually a Sweet 16 for an Indian girl, and I shot it terribly. I think I was recording on the wrong settings. I wasn't recording sometimes when I was supposed to be. It was just bad. I was like 15 years old, and I ended up just giving them the whole thing for free, obviously. Oh, okay. And I was like, I'm not going to charge you. And then the guy's like, no, don't worry. He was like, really? He's like, don't worry. You gave me $200. He's like, continue your journey, kind of thing. And he's like, he knew it sucked, but it's like, can't expect much. Yeah, it was very nice of him.
And also a Sweet 16 kind of, it lowers the expectation a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not
and to be honest, it was a super hard gig for me to ever film on my first thing ever. You should never do that. You should, you know, that's the stuff you learn, you know, that's stuff you learn. Like, so it's just like hindsight, you learn so much just from doing different things and being in the situation. So I kind of forgot the question, but.
No, it's still relevant. Yeah. Creativity, right? And when somebody, client or
It's definitely good for them to give you direction. Like with certain things. But if you're making a specific, like say if I'm meeting up with friends and making something specifically creative, I can't be with someone that's not open-mindedly creative. Sure. Like if I have an idea, they can at least receive it and be like, oh, okay, I can see how that can work. Even if they don't like it, they can at least receive it and see how it could work. Because there are those people where, like you mentioned, you're like, nah, I don't like that. I don't want it like that. Because I film sometimes with my brother, and he does bike videos. And I'll be like, what do you think about these? He's like, nah, that's not my style. Yeah. And then for me, it's just like, I don't want to film with you, bro. Like, it's not fun to film with you. Like, I'm doing all the filming. You're riding a bike, and I'm doing it how you want to do it. It's, like, not fun to even do. I don't you know? Sure. So, like, definitely, for sure.
Yeah. What about you, Brandon? How do you feel about
that? Yeah, I agree. You know, I think that it's important to know, like, kind of where you're at. You know, sometimes, you know, you mentioned the pastor sermon. You know, it's definitely a place where you kind of want to show some creativity.
Yeah.
But if that's kind of not what they're going for, like, I've done gigs where it's just point a camera at, like, a speaker. That I can't really, you know, twist the camera.
Yeah, like the gala event. Like, we're doing the gala event. Cool. And it's literally, I'm taking testimonies from different people. How creative can I really be with that?
Sure.
You know, I can be somewhat creative to maybe take from where they ended their sentence to go to the next person's sentence somewhat.
Right.
But it's really just an interview to interview.
Well, that was going to lead me into the next question. It's like, in those moments, you know, talking about creativity, like I've specifically myself, I've had to find different alternatives to be creative.
True.
Like you mentioned, editing it away so it sounds like the person is speaking some really, really great things in a span of 30
seconds.
Think
of a podcast. How can you really make it more interesting?
But
we try to make different camera angles and we try to cut
angles,
it. There's
editing stuff in.
Mm-hmm. You have to involve some level of creativity into things or else you're just going to be a normal person. You're going to be like everyone else.
Right.
And in the day and age of social media and media in general, bro, you're going to just never stick out. You're going
to
be
a niche.
You're going to be making content for no reason. Unless you just enjoy making mundane content that's not great, then do it. Like if you like doing that, then do it.
Well,
if you want to grow, then you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So all this leads me into the next portion that I specifically wanted to talk to you about.
Mm-hmm.
So we've talked about the shooting video type of thing. But one of the things that I appreciate about when we were talking about making this episode happen is that you write as well. And I feel that writing is such a wonderful tool for wellness, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it allows you to put your feelings, your story, your past experiences into.
I mean, it's the most important thing when you think about it.
Absolutely.
Right.
Without any written story, what are you going to create?
Exactly. I always said that in film, I will take anything but a bad story.
Yeah.
Right. I don't care if you know how people judge a lot of those student films or those like low budget sci-fi films.
Yeah.
If you give me a good story, I don't care if it looks like
I agree.
You shot it in the backyard. I'm going to watch it.
And that's funny because I always thought I was a bad, not right. Well, I guess I thought I was a bad writer, you know, because I didn't think of myself as writing and writing movies and stuff like that. But really, when you're a creator and you're making videos and shooting, you're really actually a really good writer, you know, because you have to make shot lists. You have to plan. You have to organize yourself in a way to, if you're going to make a certain content and if you want it to come out a certain way and it's going to be good, you actually have to plan and write all that out, at least in your mind. Yeah. Do I think it's the same as writing a movie? Absolutely not. That's not something I have. And that's something we definitely want to push over to you and ask you, like, you know, like, what drives you to write? Like, because I'm interested when I find people that write music too. Like, what drives you to write? Because I love music. I wish I could rap. You know, I love music. I love rap. I love music. I couldn't go a day without listening to it.
Right.
Agree.
But could I write it? Absolutely not. Yeah, so it's just cool.
I think film and music are very closely related in that because, you know, just a lot of different ways. But if anything, films are just long music videos, you know, and that's, you know.
Very true.
Yeah. And I know you were just mentioning too, you know, people think they're bad writers, but then you can pick up a camera, learn how to do certain things with it and lighting. And, you know, that kind of, you kind of need some of the hardware first sometimes to know like what looks good. And then you'd be like, oh, well, that scene mixed with this writing.
How many YouTubers do we think that were probably terrible movie writers, but like they're a vlogger and they're amazing?
Yeah. And that's,
that's storytelling.
Yeah. And that's their perspective. And that's, you know, one of the things that we learned in screenwriting, one of the first things was how can your perspective, you know, change anything, you know, like even movies that are already around, you know, if you had some connection somehow to it, you know, what's your perspective on it?
Oh, very true.
You know, and you know, that can change it entirely. Even, you know, we were just mentioning earlier editing, you know, like they always say that a film is written twice, when it's written and then when it's edited, because you really can change the fabric of the entire film with different takes and with different, you know.
I can't imagine how many like times a story movie has been written, changed.
Oh my goodness.
Because like when I make a video, when I make a YouTube video, I'll say like my final version will be like whatever the name of it is, like 8. That'll be my eighth time I've saved it.
Final cut.
final revision final. You know, so I can only imagine movies, bro. It's probably a million revisions.
Right.
And the thing is, they're working with, they'll have 10, 15, 20 editors on one movie doing different scenes. True. So you have all those people come together trying to make stories together. It's so crazy.
I can bring in some perspective just from, you know, my thesis film. Like, you know, it was done years ago in 2018, but I rewrote that probably 5 separate times from, you know, from where it was given to me. It's because we did like a lottery thing and like whose film got picked and then who got picked to direct, who got picked to do cinematography, who did, you know, editing. So I was elected to direct one of the scripts that came that we all, you know, agreed upon. And I changed, it was not even the same thing at the end, you know, and I was like, I hope everyone still agrees because I changed it entirely. And then even up until like, I probably shouldn't have, but the last 2-3 weeks I was changing it because certain things. And then I was consulting my screenwriting teacher being like, do you like this? Does this scene make sense? Does this make sense for their character? And then he'd be like, no, like, change it, you know, do this, do that, like experiment that. And at the end, I was happy with it. I mean, the production value, like you were saying too, probably could have been less student filmy, but I was happy with how the story came out.
What do you guys, so that's for the short story you're filming right now?
No, so the one I'm a part of a film right now, and they're just doing a campaign for fundraising at the moment. I'm not going to plug that, but I'll plug, like, you know, just the film itself, and maybe it'll lead to that. So we'll see. But yeah, no, I'll be a smaller part on that film. This was the film I'm talking about is a thesis I did for.
Okay,
my,
cool. So what do you find yourself more drawn to? Do you find yourself more drawn to the creative aspect of like shooting it, shooting, editing, writing, storytelling, or acting, living?
Well, I've done some acting as well. I did theater at Broward, you know, a little bit, and I've also done some student film stuff, and I did a web series that I was really proud of that's out on Amazon Prime. Watch Combat Club on Amazon Prime.
Nice.
Cool.
Nice.
That's
yeah,
cool.
No, so I've done all forms of it, and you know, I find that each one has its merits. You know, editing I find super you know, fulfilling to really make that cut fit to this cut, and then, you know, do a perfect spin around and that works, and then, Even sound design, I think, is incredible. So
that's the super underrated thing.
I love it. I love
especially
it.
Especially when it comes to actual movies.
Yeah.
Sound design is everything. Yeah. If you look at an actual like scene where they're editing and the breakdown, that's the whole bulk of it is sound design.
This year alone, we had Dune Part 2, and I don't know if you, you had the chance to watch that movie.
I didn't see it yet, but I can only
I happened to see it in IMAX, and I don't regret a single moment because the sound specifically is such a high, kind of its own character in the movie.
Absolutely.
It's such an important aspect. There's a scene where you're like hearing these worms travel to the, and not only you feel the chair shaking, but you hear every single follicle of sand just start moving.
I follow two guys on Instagram, and one of them is a Netflix. He specifically works for Netflix, and he's a Netflix trailer editor.
Oh, okay.
So he'll post, all his Instagram is literally just trailers or like clips of the trailer, and he'll show the breakdown and he'll show all the sounds and all the things, everything.
It's so cool.
It's insane.
Trailers are fun. Yeah,
1500 little things in 30-second clip. Mm-hmm. And then I follow another guy who does the same thing, but mostly sound design for anime.
Right.
And you guys may have seen him because he kind of goes viral, and he'll start his videos off like quiet with no sound. Like he'll be like Peaky Blinders and they'll be walking in. Mm-hmm. And then he'll make like a voice like, wow, like him talking himself.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, he's like a white dude and he has like all his setup right behind him. And then he's like, oh, this is what I like. And then he'll make a voice that doesn't sound like it, but he, in theory, you know what he's sounding, thinking. Mm-hmm. And then he'll put it on and it's like, holy smokes, this guy is like creating every sound. Because, bro, they don't record with sound. Like these movies, it's so important with movies, especially, and that's why I say with movies, because like when I'm recording a video, sometimes I'm just recording, putting a boom mic on my thing, and I'm picking up that outside sound, and then I'll add sound effects on top. Movies, they don't pick up sound cameras ever like that, bro. Yeah. Ever. They'll get a boom mic if they're going to get the actual sound from
the dialogue. The dialogue.
But any other exterior sound, it's added. Every sound effect is added into a movie. And bro, it's insane.
That could go back to scripts, too, just kind of
writing,
No. Like, it just kind of, you have to put it in the script.
Yeah, bro. Like, and that's what that guy does, why he's kind of goes viral, is because he'll like say the words and then it'll go blah, 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 blah.
And then he'll talk.
Yeah. So it's like, he makes you think about the creative process instead of like showing you it. He's showing you like how he's actually thinking in his brain.
Which
it's
is great.
So freaking cool.
Yeah.
Well, so cool.
I don't know if you've seen these locations. There's these companies that are specifically paid to make sound effects.
They'll have ADR.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'll never forget when that Logan movie, the Wolverine movie, came out. And then you see they put out a video of Hugh Jackman in the studio going, it's the coolest thing. And then they added that to the scene, that and they had the scene playing in the background, so he has a visual perspective. Or you'll see these people, like they're looking at the movie scene, and there's horses, and they'll grab two coconuts and they'll go to
and to mimic Monty the sound
the Monty Python
there's
joke.
Those people that
that's
literally
really what they do.
Have rooms in their apartments or houses set up soundproofed and everything
just to
specifically
make
with chains and nails and bowls
and
so they can make
pools.
Weird sounds on these super sensitive microphones. And then there's also those people that they do stock footage and stock stuff like that. And they'll go outside and they'll get those ambient mics. That they're like $20,000 mics. They'll have a big ambient circle around them. And they're picking up butterfly noises and like
wings,
random things like that. That are like, how the heck are you hearing this, bro?
Yeah.
You know, and it's just.
Well, you know, that's interesting. I wonder, and maybe, I don't know if you have any experience on this, but I'm curious, as we're talking about creativity and making film and stuff. What do you think people feel like when they have to make those stock videos or stock sounds, and like people just use them like left, right, and center, no recognition?
I have some experience of talking to actors who have done like stock, videos like that sometimes, and it could, they've advised me, they're like, don't do anything stock related if your face is involved or anything like that.
Don't sell your image.
Because they can use that for anything. You know,
I've heard that before.
When it comes to audio too, it can be a nice paycheck because you get it up front, but then the credit that, I've seen it recently. Someone made a video about how they made some sample for, some famous song. I think it was a Sabrina Carpenter song. And They just kind of took the audio.
The Little Nas X Old Town Road was a 10 grand sample.
Yeah,
$10,000.
Exactly.
Look at that song. It's like, isn't that one of the most famous songs of all time now?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I think
definitely one of.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it is.
I don't
know.
I don't think you're off. I think
bro,
I'm
it's
pretty sure.
Up there. That if he did not do that and signed royalties for a 0.1%,
yeah.
He mean, would be a millionaire.
Well, that's the thing is you know, some people don't you know, they don't think that they'll have that opportunity.
Yeah.
That's true.
And that's one thing, but another thing is, you know, you're kind of forfeiting the credit, which kind of sucks, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why like people on like Fiverr and things like that, it's great. It's a great avenue, but at the same time, it's like what you said, you can lose value in certain areas.
I think there's still some, there's some, I mean, it's all creative work. You know, I've used Fiverr before.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it works
so
well. I had
YouTube
someone...
Studio. I use YouTube Studio every single time I make one of these episodes.
Yeah, Canva.
Canva, another great example.
Canva,
All our thumbnails come from Canva.
Yeah. I've used
a lot of this stuff's pre-made from people on these, and we all use them, you know?
Yeah. I think it's a great tool, for sure.
I think
for
it's a great tool, too, but I've always had that perspective of like, man, like, a lot of people just make stuff and then don't get credited. It's just, it is what it is. It's interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to go back into the writing because you've told me that you've, which by the way, you still need to show them to me. I'm kind of offended that you haven't shown them to me, but you've actually written stuff in the past and you've written scripts and stuff like that. I have never actually written a full film script. The closest I've come to it is writing short films.
Right.
I wrote a little, but and not even a short film. It's like, you know, those YouTube videos, the horror shorts and whatever.
Yeah.
Like I've written like one or two of those. Cause like that's my niche. That's what I like. But I'm very curious. Whenever you shared that you earlier with me that you have struggled with a lot of mental health in the past.
Yeah.
So how do you utilize the writing process alongside the filming process to help you through those dark times?
Thanks for watching part one of Wellness Through Filmmaking and Creativity. Make sure to join us next week for part two.